can't believe what people are saying out there. It's amazing. We tore it up. We nailed it, man.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Atlas Unnamed podcast. This is your host, R. Wars Today, joined today by Nick, or Tales from the Grid Space. Nick, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hey, how's it going, everyone? Thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, no problem. It was great to have you. I don't know if everyone knows about Nick, but he does some really great military spooky stories, just general sort of creepy horror, mythological sort of urban myth sort of stuff, and it's really very 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 entertaining to read, and you get some really great range of the spectrum stories from different service members and also people just around the world.
Oh yeah, I think it's more popular than I thought it would be for a while. I definitely started it, and I think I used to be 2 years ago, something less than 500 followers, and then just blew up. I think I'm sitting at 116K right now, and that's just insane to me.
Yeah, that's very much how I felt with my page. Prior to 2021, I was just sitting at 10K followers, and I've been sitting there for about 2 or 3 years. So I was not expecting things to go the way I did. So I definitely understand that the explosion feeling. And what sort of got you into making the account in the beginning and being to share these stories and seek out other people's stories?
Yeah, so I decided to create Tales from the Grid Square, honestly, because I had 6 beers out one night and I had this idea. I've always had a long-standing, interest in kind of I wouldn't call it obsession, but interest in the paranormal. As a kid, I used to read all these books and was attracted to all these TV shows talking about Bigfoot, ghosts, and UFOs and stuff like that. I've always had an interest in it, and it was just basically some minor experiences that I had in the military, and just those classic late night discussions that you have with your friends and fellow people in the military that inevitably get really weird and talk about weird topics that you wouldn't oh yeah, the barracks are haunted, man, there's a ghost here fucking of a dude that killed himself or something crazy like that. And kind of all those little anecdotal experiences and kind of an experience I had myself, just kind of that was the catalyst to, hey, what if I started a page that's devoted to all this?
Nice. Yeah. I definitely remember a lot of those good spooky stories around campfires or after watching movies and stuff, especially horror ones when I was younger. Do you want to talk about what we're going to be sort of discussing today in terms of stories? I'll let you sort of introduce them however you want, if you want to introduce them all now or just one by one and sort of get into them.
Yeah, so typically I pull stories from the page and from the two books for your listeners. I have two books out, Tales from the Grid Square Volume 1 and Tales from the Grid Square Volume 2 on Instagram. So I usually will, when I come on the show, I'll pull some stories out from out of there. I'll pull some stories that I posted on the page, or I'll pull stories that I haven't even shown before, because I think I have 380 something stories that are backed up right now on my phone, and
it's a good reserve.
Yeah, it's a really good reserve, and I think I honestly probably have about 40 or 50 more in my messages that I haven't even touched, and then probably an equal amount that I haven't even touched in my email, just because work has been killing me lately.
Yeah, no, I feel that. I have very much fallen behind in recent months on responding to especially running different accounts and having different social media connected to those. It's very hard to get to all the different messages and stuff when it's just sort of spread out, or as you said, not work focused.
Oh yeah, and just for the listeners and for my followers that are, I guess, listening, I'm still in the military, so this is I'm not exactly a influencer or anything like that, or, you know, people that do social media 100, you know, full time. I'm just some guy, but you know, the military keeps me, the army keeps me busy sometimes. For it comes and goes. So.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel that. I recently just graduated, so I'm kind of done with my scheduled obligations for a while. Not from the military, from college, but now focusing on sort of the spookiness of what we came here for. What's do you want to tell us about the first story, or give us a little bit of a prelude before we get into it?
Yeah, sure. So for the listeners for Atlas News, I decided, like, you know, to do kind of something like a theme, because, you know, it's Halloween, it's October 6th, this is like the spooky season, as people say. You know, this is where people like to talk about all the scary stuff and crap like that. So I figured I stick with the theme, and for today's theme, I call it the Skinwalker Grab Bag, where I've chosen a bunch of stories that are, you know, about five, six stories that are kind of like within the Skinwalker vein that I like, that I think are pretty creepy. I have, there's about 5 military kind of theme stories, and then about 2 civilian stories that I thought were pretty good. And then, you know, take us wherever the conversation goes. I got more stories in reserve, so, but we'll stick with the main ones.
Yeah, that sounds good. All right, I mean, when you're ready, let's just get into it.
Hell yeah, all right. all right, so this first one is at Fort Knox, and so I've gotten a couple stories along this vein, and honestly, like, I get a couple, like, from Fort Knox, and I've actually had a few stories along the same vein, like, almost like the same theme in other places, and so I'll just get right into it. So this is at Fort Knox in 2015. So I had a strange, this is from a soldier. I had a strange incident at Fort Knox back around May of 2015. We were conducting M4 quals and doing extra training on the side to pass time and to check the boxes. Eventually it hits nighttime and the LT decides to do a platoon-sized patrol base in the woods for whatever reason. We get our spacing and we have our two-man teams. We're expecting the other platoon to mess with us throughout the night, so we're actually paying attention. On my shift around 1 a.m., I catch some movement around 75 meters out. Nothing really distinctive, but it caught my attention. I began to scan the area to make sure it was actually the other platoon or just an animal. I started scanning back from left to right and right to left, and I see a very obvious face looking at me, where a log and a tree meet. It's unnaturally pale, and even with the shitty nods I was issued, I could tell that. It had oversized eyes that were too big for its head, no hair that I could tell. If it had ears, I don't remember seeing them, but it had a weird jaw, like it was struggling to keep its mouth shut. It kept peeking up and down and looking our way. Finally, my buddy woke up and asked what was up. Upon hearing his voice, I assume, it froze and looked in his direction. I whispered as quietly as I could to put his nods on and told him where to look. As soon as he did, that thing booked it through the trees. It crashed around and it caused us both to jump. The next day, we debated on saying anything, but trying to tell people you saw a ghoul, ghost, or whatever it was isn't exactly the easiest thing to explain. Ultimately, we decided to keep it to ourselves, and we still have no idea what it was to this day.
It's a pretty good one. That reminds me of, not to the point where I actually saw anything, but to the moments leading up to hearing creepy sounds in the woods while camping with friends, and then just getting, like, totally spooked for the rest of the night, and basically having a contest of which one of us can go to sleep the last.
What? I don't know if you've seen that, like, it makes the rounds. It's like a TikTok or sometimes on Instagram. I can't tell where it's from, but it's like some dudes are, like, chilling in a camp, and all of a sudden one guy goes, like, dude, run, and, like, three of these dudes, like, are, like, on, like, hands and knees running out of the tent away from their campsite, and the dude's filming. I'm like, what the fuck are we talking about? And he, like, stops, and he turns around and looks at their tent, and there was, like, a light in the tent that they were, like, because he was filming bullshit with his friends beforehand. Yeah. And you see, like, this, like, thing that looks like a human on four legs, like, standing in the tent, and it's, like, looks up at him, and all you hear him is go, oh, and then, like, runs away.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of that scene from, you ever see The Ritual?
Oh, that's the one, the Nordic one, right?
Yeah, they're hiking the friend and camping like a friend's hiking trip out, and then they just like run into the Eldritch horror god in the woods in Scandinavia somewhere. And it reminds me like that because there's a couple tense scenes from that movie, and then followed by that like giant moose human who has like arms coming out of its head and stuff. That one, when I watched that movie, I never, like, it dissuaded me from camping for a good couple months afterwards, because it also, all the scenery in that movie, just incredibly reminds me of, like, pretty much any, like, hiking area above, like, tundra level, just, like, with those really thin trees, like, spruce or pine, and, especially, like, what do you call it, aspen trees. And I was in Colorado at the time when I saw the movie, and I just did not want to go hiking up there because it just looked exactly like that movie, and I was just terrified some Norwegian horror was coming to take me away.
Dude, yeah, that movie's pretty good. They like really set that one up. The monster is kind of unique too. If your viewers haven't or listeners haven't seen it, The Ritual is a pretty good film.
Definitely. That was like. There's not many movies that pull off. I mean, there's Blair Witch Project, which is obviously like OG when it comes to doing like horror in the woods, and especially like found footage, or you know, Evil Dead. It's another pretty classic one when it comes to that sort of stuff. But Ritual was very like it added an aspect of like because it was a very I think a normal activity just to do like those like long hiking trips. It just kind of seems like something which is like a lot more common. Than me and my friends going to hang out in the creepy cabin in the woods, which is definitely not haunted.
Yeah, I hate that stupid... I hate horror movie tropes that make no sense. It's like zombie movies. Like, you know, you would think, like, as many zombie movies there are, every time they make one, when the dead rise, people are like, oh, what is happening? What are we going to do with these guys? Whereas, like, you know, in the modern... There's, like, so many... People are like, all right, start shooting them in the head, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like we as, you know, humans as animals, we have, like, these innate feelings when we see, like, creatures or entities or, like, things that make us feel uncomfortable or that feel, like, unnatural or strange to us. So I think, like, that's why, you know, like, you can usually, like, look at, you know, people when they see dead bodies, they sometimes don't even have to, like, see it's a dead body to know it's dead, but just by looking at, you know, a you know a body whether alive or not people get like an innate feeling of like there's something off with this situation or you know something's not right just kind of like that's I think part of our lizard brain that still sits in like you know our spinal cord telling us like hey maybe get out of here this is a dangerous situation and I feel like if anything remotely close to zombies ever happened which I guess you know whatever that fucking scopolamine dust in Mexico maybe that's you know as close as we're gonna get yeah but I feel like you know you but even when you know if you see someone heavily under the influence you can kind of you know you get a sense from them I feel like that's just our little heads up warning display giving us a little bit of an alert about hey maybe get out of here and I feel like if anything happened like zombies people would pretty fast be like they wouldn't be like walking up and be like George are you all right why are you acting so strange George I'd be like I'm getting out of here now
yeah no for sure man like I don't know like horror movies are hilarious in that regard and I just wonder sometimes wonder why they're like that it makes me laugh
well I think yeah I mean there's some that do it good but yeah there's definitely others that pretty you know they make it unrealistic because they just want to advance the plot or you know have a certain character die on screen at a certain time so are there any good like Skinwalker type movies that you have seen or you recommend I mean I like The Ritual is definitely one that sits there for me and there's probably like another couple ones I could probably try and think about but they're not really like super prominent
yeah I know there was so like believe it or not like I'm not exactly a huge horror guy I watch like a couple films. I don't like the really overly the top gory and like jump scares for jump scares. I like the kind of like unsettling like build up ones. So like Signs, I love Signs. Like I think hate people out like I don't like a lot of M. Night Shyamalan. In fact, I don't like any of them. But like Signs is the only one I like. But in terms of Skinwalkers, I know there was like this one film, and no, that's Megan's Body with Megan Fox, but there was a film about a bunch of co-eds going out to the desert, I think, or something. I think it was literally called Skinwalkers. And they're like out in the desert, and of course, like, you know, a couple of them are skinwalkers, and hilarity ensues. But besides that, I can only think of the Wendigo one, Antlers, that just came out like a while back.
Oh yeah, that was good.
But in terms of like Skinwalker, like stuff like that, I really can't give you any example. I feel like Skinwalkers are a lot of the times like a meme. Like that's like the main thing. They're like memes almost.
Yeah, it very much falls into like the category of like. I feel like more. I mean, there's definitely been like, you know, as you said, like Skinwalker movies, but the general knowledge pool seems to be mostly online and social media.
Oh yeah, for sure. And that's like, I think it was before I even started the page, I noticed that like the idea of like skinwalkers were practically a meme, which was kind of funny, which, you know, it just kind of made me laugh, like just listening to some of that stuff. And like just some of the other crap that comes up too, like the memes, or I just remember for the longest time, like Skinwalkers being like the shit, like the thing everybody talked about for like a long time.
Why not? They're very terrifying concept that any forest nighttime creature could be, a monster waiting in disguise to gobble you up as soon as you turn your back. Makes, you know, squirrels and chipmunks and deer a lot more scary, concept when you see them staring at you and then scurrying off.
Yeah. Could you imagine sitting up in a tree stand and, like, looking down, and then there's a fucking squirrel that shapeshifts into a fucking bear coming after you?
Yeah. Seems like it'd be, like, straight from a scene out of, like, one of those Red Dead 2... like drug adjustment scenes.
Speaking of Red Dead 2, someone told me that there's like a Skinwalker Easter egg where like you kill certain animals and they'll like revive as like dead animals and attack you and shit.
Really? That's pretty crazy. I remember that from Far Cry 5 because of the whole, whatever her name is, one of the main antagonists, and her power is like changing into animals or changing humans into animals. It's very... very odd game. Do you want to get into the next story?
Yeah, sure. So this one's another quick short one, but this one's like another creepy. So like, so when it goes into like the Skinwalker, right? There's like this other, like if you like know the Skinwalker lore, like Skinwalkers are nothing more than like Navajo shapeshifters, like, you know, shamans that have learned how to shapeshift, right? And they're predominantly like Navajo, right? I think like there's some variations between like other tribes, and I'm not an expert on this, so please, for people listening, don't get offended. But you know, a lot of times I think people label Skinwalker like Wendigo to something that it is not. Like, so there's this whole thing called like the crawlers, right? The pale crawlers, a ghoul, the crawler, right? They're like these white humanoids that are like running around North America and stuff like that. Like that, like look human, but they're not quite human. And I think a lot of times what people think that they're seeing Skinwalkers or Wendigos and stuff are like this undiscovered cryptid that's like, you know, haunting all of North America. And if you go on Reddit, there's whole subreddits dedicated to like the crawler phenomena, and like the last story with the pale face, like that kind of like hits the pale, unnatural face with big eyes. Kind of hits the, crawls around on all fours, looks like a human, but it's not. That hits, like, exactly, like, the description of what a lot of people see in the woods. So this next one is specifically about that. So it starts off, it's another soldier. So I've seen a crawler one stateside. This was at the height of Pokemon Go, and we were at an artillery range about 30 minutes outside of El Paso. A group of about seven of us decided to head out there on some trails near a park. This place is pretty barren. Think of like a New Mexico desert with really nothing around. The group all had flashlights, and one of us had brought an MVG that they personally owned. We're all walking around shooting the shit until our doc saw a silhouette against the moonlight, some 300 meters in the distance on some rocks. And he just simply dismissed it as a coyote. Then the sergeant that tagged along tells us to kill the lights and grabs the MVGs. He just mutters to himself, "What the actual fuck?" And the MVG is passed around with pretty similar reactions. Just sitting there was a pale man with big glowing eyes, a disproportionate body, and a set of antlers beside it. It was so damn unnatural looking. Only about half of the group had a chance to look at it until the last guy who saw it said, "Hey, it's staring right back at us. Oh, fuck, it's getting up." As those words were spoken, we all just bolted back into our van. The ride back was eerie and quiet, and we had just never brought it up again.
Pale man is always a terrifying. Him or Hat Man, they're always the worst ones to run into.
I've never heard of the Pale Man.
No, I'm just making it up. Yeah, I mean, it kind of reminds me of... were you ever into Slenderman stuff as a kid at all? Or, like, at least, like, or, like, playing the games?
I was, like, kind of into it, but I wasn't, like, obsessed with it. Like, there's some parts to it that I thought were, like, interesting, but I also remember when that guy, like... He made it, and it was like, yeah, this is fiction. This is just my experimental, like, bullshit fiction that I'm doing. So, like, I always thought it was, like, an entertaining, goofy story and not exactly, like, real.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I never thought of... I didn't even know there was a guy who came out and invented it, but that makes sense. Did he, like, claim it after the fact, or was it, like, did he, like, say it, like, right off from the start, like, I'm starting this urban legend?
So, like, I gotta go back. I think he said it after the fact. I could be totally wrong. One thing that made me laugh was, people that thought it was real. But one of the... the real thing that made me laugh was, there was this other part of the Slender Man kind of mythos, and it was called the Rake, right? And, like, you've probably heard that term before. So the Rake is, like, this, like, humanoid-looking creature that's not, like, almost demonic, and it runs around on four legs, you know, on four limbs, like, hands and feet. It's kind of weird, right? It's kind of, like, this freaky-looking thing that stalks the main character. So, like, when that came out, a lot of people were like, yo, I've seen the Rake, right? I've seen the Rake. The Rake is real, which, you know, a lot of people started to go, like, how could it be real if this guy made it up? And... kind of the interesting correlation with Slender Man is I don't believe Slender Man is actually real, but I think that creator made another creature in there that is very close to what people have actually seen in the woods.
That makes sense. I just looked it up, and yeah, the guy who created it, he has it on his Instagram as creator of the Slender Man. His name is Eric Knudsen. He created it in 2009 on a forum, and the only thing I could find from him was, well, apparently he gave some talks recently, but in 2014 he spoke out on the stabbing, saying, "I am deeply saddened," which, if anyone doesn't remember, in like 2014,
oh, yeah,
there was like two 12-year-old girls who stabbed their friend like 19 or something times in Wisconsin. Because they were, like, trying to, like, win the favor of Slenderman. They even made, like, a fucked up... Didn't they make a movie about it or something? It's kind of messed up. They made a movie after the fact. I think... I don't know if the girl lived or not, but... I remember, you know, away from all the bad stuff related to it. Oh, the victim survived. Both of them are at a institutionalized health institute until they're... well, one of them's institutionalized and one of them's under supervision until she's 37 years old. That's, yeah, it seems like kind of got off pretty easy, but
yeah, just a little bit.
I remember I got into it when it was in the video game came out, like just around that period of time, and like that was like the first I remember. Like, I don't know if the guy Eric Knudsen was the guy who made the video game or if he just came up with the creepypasta. But that game took over middle school, I remember, at the time. And everyone was, like, trying to play it on the library computers. And the librarians saw so many kids playing it that they blocked Slenderman. Like, they blocked the website so you couldn't download it. And it was, like, those computers, I think they were, like, old...
The old Macintoshes.
No, they were Windows, but they were like old. I think they were like early Windows. I don't know if it was like XP, but it was something. It was early, and you know, they would wipe after every user session, so you couldn't like keep downloaded files on them. But the way we circumvented that is we all just would download Slenderman on USB flash drives, and then we'd come into school and plug them into the computers and just install the game from there. And then we'd play Slenderman. Like, every single, like, lunch and recess break, like, or whenever there was, like, free library time, you'd just find, like, all the library computers would just have kids playing, like, either Pop Tropica or, like Club Penguin or Slenderman. That was, like, the top three. And then, or just, like, you know, or, like...
Yo, fucking, rest in peace, Club Penguin.
That was a real one. That was, like, my first video game for real. That was, like, the first video game I ever played. Like, really real. Or what was the other one? I mean, Cool Math Games has always been a big thing. But that, yeah, I remember that one as well. Or just, like, Cartoon Network games.
Cool Math Games. Dude, I remember that. I remember that.
Yeah, I remember when I was in high school, we had a Java class, and the teacher was like she like worked for Oracle, and that's why they hired her. But she worked as a PR ref. She like didn't know anything about coding, so she just would give us like printed out pieces of paper with code written on it, and she'd have us copy it down onto the software and then run it. Like, we didn't know what the code did or like what any of the functions meant. It was a really bad class, but. So afterwards, everyone, like literally all 30 kids in the class, after like the assignment that took like 10 minutes, would just be playing Cool Math Games for like the other 40 minutes, and she did not care at all. It was pretty funny.
Dude, yeah. Dude, I miss those days. Kids these days don't know about getting on to like MIDI Clip or what was the Cool Math Games, or what was the other one?
Armor Games was a big one. There was like one website, I forget, that had like, it was like Easy Games or something, where it had like a ton of games, but I remember I never really used it because you had to create an account to log in, and I never really want to do that. The other ones you could just like load up right off the browser page without having to make anything. But yeah, do you want to get into the next story?
Yeah, let's get into the next one. All right, so this next one is a Tales from the Grid Square classic. It's a very popular one that always gets people shook. This one for your listeners too. If you want to hear this guy actually tell the story, the Confessionals podcast has an episode with him on it that I hooked him up together with. It's a super cool story, kind of messed up, and I'll get right into it. So, this is from a Marine stationed out of Quantico. I might not have a super fucked up story, but it's a pretty creepy one if you'll take it. I'm an MP at Quantico, and there's definitely been a couple fucked up things that I've seen on the nights patrolling the west side. So I've been at Quantico for about 2 years as an MP. For those that don't know, Quantico is set up with two sides. Main side, where everything east is of 95, and appropriately named the west side, where they do TBS. And that's all the ranges. Now, the west side is pretty damn massive, and I'm talking it would take 2 to 3 hours to drive around it with all these forgotten off-roads and old cemeteries from homesteads dotting the landscape. Plenty of forgotten training areas dating back to World War II. When I was on night shift, I would always be asked to be on the roving unit out there, because it would give me a chance to scout out places to hunt or fish on my off days. And being the only unit out there and being left alone was pretty nice to skate or just do my own thing over a 10-hour shift. Now, I'm not a stranger to the woods or the outdoors or anything. I grew up running around the mountains for quail and deer in Southern California as a kid, and I spent a ton of nights out there camping by myself in my teens. So there's really not much out there in nature that freaks me out. One night in about November, when the nights were getting really dark real fast, I was done posting Marines out on the gates and heading up to the far training area where I had my tree stand and a camera set up to go take a look at it. And just wanted to see if anything had been around. To get there, you had to drive about 30 minutes up one road and then another 15 minutes until you hit a long dirt road that bisects that part of the base in half. In this particular area, comms are always sucky, so you have to basically accept you're going to be on your own. I parked my Durango on an offshoot and grabbed my flashlight and started heading off into the creek bottom about a mile or two off the road. I've done this tons of times, and I got there pretty fast and grabbed the chip out of my trail cam and hopped into the tree stand to take a look at it and pass the time. Not even 5 minutes into flipping through the pictures of some turkeys that were hanging around, I hear something human walk through the woods about 30 yards in front of me. Now, this is the middle of the night on the training base, so a lost LT doing land nav isn't out of the question. So I thought I'd get a chance to fuck with him or her. So I closed my laptop and turned off my flashlight and tried to see if I could see where they were. I hear it walk closer and closer and closer until about 20 yards in front of me. I can make out the outline of what looked like a deer, which was kind of disappointing. So I just stayed to watch and see where he was headed, so I wouldn't spook him. All of a sudden, it started bashing its head against a tree over and over and over again the entire time until its skull cap was crushed and leaking blood and brain matter. Then this fucking thing stood up on its hind legs, turned towards me as though it was staring directly at me with its eyes being useless. It said in the clearest tone I have ever heard in my life, "I know you're there." My stomach hit the floor and I was too frozen in fear to even draw my pistol. And as quickly as it walked in, it got back on all fours and walked away. I waited about 10 minutes shaking like a damn leaf before I hauled my ass back out of there and got back to my patrol car and grabbed my shotgun. I sat in the lit parking lot of an MCX the rest of the night. It took about a month before I had the balls to go back there and grab my laptop and shit from there. And I went with a friend who didn't tell what happened, but I told him to bring his long gun as well. When I got there, I grabbed my stuff and looked towards where I thought it was. And at the tree, it was busted with splinters everywhere, and it would look like blood and bones scattered on the ground. Needless to say, I didn't go checking out stuff in the middle of the night anymore. I hunt on the complete opposite side of base. Anytime I need to go by there, I take a shotgun and condition one now. I told my Navajo grandpa about it, and he just told me not to speak of it, and that freaked me the fuck out. And I don't get creeped out easily, but that shit fucked me up, dude. Like, I don't even go to the woods anymore.
Yeah, that would make me not want to go to the woods. My imagination already runs wild enough, but I think my closest experience to anything that was like, I was genuinely freaked out for a moment was when I, at a time I was camping in Colorado and a black bear got really, really, really close to our camp. So much we could like see its outline and hear it like roaring, is like, you know, grunting and sort of sniffing as it was like,
that's
coming.
Not good.
Yeah, and it, but like from a distance too, so we could hear it coming for like 20 minutes because it was fucking loud as shit. And then it, you know, but if I ever saw anything that was like genuinely unsettling or seemed like untraditional, like, you know, nature, that I would probably not want to go into the woods again. Everything I've seen that has just been like imagination playing tricks on me in the dark. Have you ever tried to like put yourself in like an isolated pitch black environment?
Oh yeah, it's definitely not fun when you're wandering around.
No, like have you tried going pitch black, like sitting in a cave with like deep in a cave with no lights on, and then just like seeing how long it takes you to start seeing things?
Oh yeah, no, I've not done that. I don't think I want to.
I would recommend it. It's an experience. They do it. I remember I've done it a couple times. They do it at like all the national park caves, but you could probably just go into like finding like local sewer system or something, or like any, I don't know, any kind of like underground structure basically, and then just go there with the lights off. And I think it's something within like a minute or two you'll start seeing things. Like your mind will, like, you know, your brain will literally start creating objects in the dark, and then after like 5 or 10 or plus minutes, they'll become more solid and more like structured. And I don't want to say in specific, but I think it was like either half an hour or an hour or something with complete pitch blackness, but you can like still see, you know, but there's no light sources. You'll start hearing things as well. It's very not good for the human mind. We don't deal well with it.
That's funny. I don't know. I think the closest I've been was I was up at Fort Drum on a training exercise. And I had to go walk and take a piss. And, like, the fucking porta-johns were, like, down the road. And, like, you either could walk 5 minutes down the road or you could cut through the trees and, like, save yourself, like, 4 minutes, right? So during the day, it was great. At night, I did that. And I realized when I walked under the heavy canopy that, you know, there's no fucking sun and moon. And I, you know, I was trying to be a good little soldier, and I shut off my, like, red lens as I walked, just only flashing it on to make sure I could see where I was going occasionally. And I, you know, looked down at the ground, and I shut off my red lens, and then I was like, and just like, I could not see anything. I was like, what the fuck? And, you know, of course, I'm like not in uniform because I'm trying to pee in the middle of the night. And like, tired of taking shit in the middle of the night, really. And I'm like, holy fuck, it's dark. I have no idea where I'm at. I'm like, I'm just gonna, I like fucking waddled out to the road, fucking handrailed the road, because it freaked me out so much.
Yeah, there's something, I mean, we have like the innate fear of the unknown, but like the innate, like fearing the unknown, and then like also like not being able to see our like environment, but in a time, you know, not like we're blind or something, but as in like we should be able to see what's happening, but we can't. And I think our brain really just freaks out in that moment because, I mean, you know, you can get adjusted to night vision, but like being in like complete, like you were like, I'm supposed to see, why am I not seeing? And that's just like, it's not compute well.
Oh yeah. I don't know. Yeah. The shit's freaky. I think, or it's like, if you ever sit like in those like rooms, like, you know, when you go get your hearing tests that are completely silent, and like usually you go with a group. Yeah, like I went one time with my like by myself, and like they closed the door, and it was like in this, it wasn't one of those weird like little half shelters that you do it in. It was like its own separate room, and it was like the size of a small closet, so just enough for me to fit in. And they closed it, and it's like they literally use like a ship's lock to like seal it. And I'm sitting in there, and it's like everything I do is, because it's so quiet, it's so like exponentially loud. I'm starting to get a little freaked out in there because like it's closed and I can hear everything. I can hear my heart beating. Like, you know, when I breathe quietly, I can hear like my uniform moving as I'm breathing, and it freaked me freaked me the hell out.
Yeah, I've only been in one of those before. And yeah, it's very uncomfortable feeling from like just how silent it is. I think there's like a horror movie about that, isn't there? Where someone's trapped in one of those rooms. I feel like I remember seeing a trailer about that or something.
I've never seen it, but honestly, that feels like, yeah, there should be a horror movie for that. Like, oh yeah, just, ah, dude, it's fucking so freaky sometimes. Freaks me the hell out.
Yeah, okay, I just found it. It's called Silent Room, the MK Ultra Project.
Silent
Rachel,
oh.
Rachel is locked in the room's quietest, in the world's quietest room, as part of an evil government experiment. The lack of sound causes her to slide down a road of insanity and terror. I don't think it's a very good movie, though, because it seems like a... Well, it could be a good indie movie, but I vaguely remember watching the trailer and being like, this doesn't seem like a very compelling story. Not because of the setting, but just because of how they shot it and stuff. Yeah, it doesn't even have a rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which probably tells you something. Like, no one rated it. probably hard stretch to find a DVD somewhere of this.
It already sounds horrible because the quintessential, oh, the CIA did it, like, plot point. I just, like, I don't know.
It's only $10 on Prime.
I think that's $10 I'll spend on beer.
Also, I'm watching the trailer, and, like, almost none of it looks like it's related. Like, there's just, like, a dude with, like, scissors and a mask, and there's, like, a giant bugs. Oh, maybe she's going insane. Maybe that's the point. I don't know. This looks crazy. All right. Let's get on to the... Well, I mean, do you want to talk more about the that story? I mean, that was a much more visceral story than, you know, most people like usually are like, you know, saying they've seen. What do you think, like, percentage-wise of, like, stories of, like, actual people just catching glimpses or people, like, full-on seeing, you know, unnatural, like, unhuman sort of, you know... by humanoid entities in the woods, or like, you know, sort of like, I guess, you know, actually, you know, people saying that, oops, my mic got muted, people saying they've fully seen it, or people saying they just like caught a glimpse of it. Do you think like proportion wise
I think it's a solid I think it's like a 70-40 split. 70-30, why did I say 70-40? I think that a lot of times it's people catching like the fleeting glances of something that, you know, freaks them out. Other times, the 30% people get very up close and visceral looks or witness something very visceral happening, like, you know, the deer smashing its brains out, or like, you know, something like a creature holding something in its mouth. Like, I would say those are very, few and far between. Usually they're ones that I like to definitely highlight the most because they're most in your face, or ones where, you know, people get, photographic evidence is even like weirder and less of the fact. You know, I've gotten a few like interesting pictures. Like I got one, I posted one on my page of Bigfoot, and you know, it's very funny. Like when you post photographic evidence, like, and I think it's legit, you know, the amount of people that don't think it's legit.
Yeah, you're definitely going to get, like, I mean, you know, there's so much out there which is, like, either, like, unconfirmed or which is, like, people, you know, I remember, like, there's so many, some of the older, like, Bigfoot clips on YouTube, like, the early 2000s YouTube, when there was just, like, no verification, and so somebody would just, like, dress up in a ghillie suit and then, you know, go, like, a couple hundred, like, meters out and then have his, you know, buddy film him. I remember when I was really young, I went down, like, I would go down rabbit holes of, like, found footage clips on YouTube in, like, probably, like, 2009 to, like, 2012 era, because there was a lot of them. And there was also that show that was, it was, like, was it Netflix? There was some show which was based all around, I think it was on Netflix, but it was, like, some network show about only found footage clips, and, like, every episode was, like, a 40-minute sort of, like, this guy's GoPro caught him. There was, like, one really visceral one where there was, like, two dune buggy bikers, and they were, like, out riding at night, and, you know, they, like, their one of their bikes breaks down, or they see something weird, and they stop, and then they just get, like, surrounded by, like, a sandworm from, like, the movie Tremors, basically. And it was, but it's like, you know, but it's like he has like a, you know, a helmet, you know, camera on, and you're just like watching it through that. And it was very well shot. I remember that. I have to look up what that show is called.
That does sound kind of familiar. It seems like that's a recent one. You know, it's on the tip of my tongue too. Like it kind of sounds familiar, and I want to know what that one is. Ah, man, I can't think of it.
there's a newer one which is called Found Footage the Series, but that came out last year, and that's definitely not what I'm thinking of. Because the one I was thinking of, I remember watching when I was a kid.
Yeah, dude, I don't remember. Fact or fake, maybe? Ah, no, that's not it. It's bugging me now.
We'll come back to it. Do you want to move on to the next story, and I'll try to find it?
No worries. Yeah, here's another short one, but I like this one because I've gotten a few, like within a month I got a few stories like this. So this is called Green Ramp. So this is from a soldier at Fort Bragg. So October of last year, around the 11th, I was driving back from Maryland. I was passing by on the road in front of Green Ramp on Bragg. I mean Liberty. At night doing 45. I saw something tall moving in the woodline to my right. When I looked, I saw a tall, mildly humanoid shape walking through the trees. I guess around 6 to 7 feet, grayish white, but could have been a similar color, like white gray or etc., but it was night, so I couldn't tell. It had unreasonably long arms and legs like a spider monkey, a completely round head and short to medium long hair all over its body, like completely covered. I thought I must have been seeing things due to sleep deprivation. But when I PCS'd to a different place on Bragg, I heard a coworker describing a creature in the woods, woodline of Sicily DZ, dancing that he saw through MVGs. I asked him some more questions and our stories matched, but he said it was taller than mine. The weird part was I had completely forgot I saw this monkey man, but his story awakened those memories in me, so to speak. It was really skinny limb too, like, I didn't get to see its face as I was driving towards and past it, but I wasn't going to stop to check out this murder monkey in the woodline by myself at zero dark hundred by myself. I thought about the weird stuff in the woods here, and I all thought it was bullshit, all the stuff that I had heard, until I saw it for myself.
That does sound pretty creepy. It kind of reminds me, when you said like the figure when you described that, I don't know why, but in my mind, the Serbian knife lady, like this, like the dancing grandmother, just like flashed in my mind.
Oh my god.
I did also find
was, like, a really big deal.
Yeah, I also remember how apparently it was like in a similar way. Someone came out and was basically like, "Yeah, I started this because I wanted to fuck with my friends," or something like that. Some like Serbian.
Oh, the Serbian date lady.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was like some guy in Serbia was like, "Yeah, I just wanted to mess with people online," and he like made it up.
Why are this? Hey, Serbia shouldn't be starting stuff. You know, last time they started stuff, we had World War One.
Yeah, they're starting some more stuff right now too. Let's hope it doesn't go hot. I did also find the TV show. It's called Lost Tapes. It's from 2008 to 2010. And every episode they just had a different like found footage from cryptozoological, supernatural, mythological, or extraterrestrial traumatic encounters. Creatures include Bigfoot, the Chupacabra, vampires, werewolves, reptilians. It was on Animal Planet too, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, that's how you know. I remember that was when they tried to generate a lot more views, and they started like claimed to have all this paranormal crap. They went like kind of like the vein of History Channel and like put on this paranormal stuff, but it was all fake. It was like just so like goofily fake.
Yeah, it was like some of them. I remember there was I watched through a bunch of them as a kid, and there was like so many that just didn't like I really wasn't super fazed by, because I was watching other horror stuff at the time that was like actually good. So when you're watching like a good like you watch like fucking Alfred Hitchcock and then you go watch Lost Tapes, like it's like a big difference. You know, you're like, all right, well this isn't really as chilling as, you know, fucking Psycho. And so there was definitely some of that where I was like, I wasn't super fazed by it, because it's also like it's like a, you know, shot in like mockumentary style.
Yeah.
And so obviously some of that is just like not super, but the ones that like were more believable, I do remember I'd be shaken for that. And there was some show, maybe it was this one. Yeah, I think it was this one. I'm pretty sure it must have been this one, because I can't think of another show it could have been. There was one episode about, it was like kind of like a parody of like River Monsters, I think. And it was supposed to be like, this guy's like searching for like this crazy, you know, giant catfish that's like residing in this river, where like the local like communities dump dead bodies or something.
Oh, yeah, I kind of remember this.
And then it like fucking takes off his leg and like drags him into the river. And I just remember being super freaked out by rivers after that.
Real. That's all I gotta say. It's real, bro.
Yeah, I think I've come over my catfish fear since then, though.
Yeah, when you realize like catfishes get that big, that makes it even freakier.
Yeah, I think that's like, I mean, yeah, it's definitely, I don't know, aquatic animals, like when it comes to horror creatures, I think aquatic ones get me a little bit more, because it just seems a lot more believable that there's just some giant like aquatic monster residing in bodies of water out there. Because that's just kind of like how evolution also works. So it's like, it seems a lot more plausible to me that you're going to find some like, I mean, alligators still exist. They have not changed for like 75 million years. Like, I don't know what is going to be waiting for me out there. Like, you know, if you think about like what's the most hardcore survival animals, it's probably the ones that managed to avoid being found by humans. So,
yeah, that's true. Yeah, alligators make me laugh. They're just vibing. They're like, yeah, we're not fucking changing.
Like, we figured it out. We got it. We got it down. There's no
more. Yo, look at you guys. Look at you guys evolving. Look at this fool evolving. I'm just gonna sit here and bask in the sun.
I'm just gonna sit here and be the ultimate killing machine with like no ability to think, but just only kill. Just sleep and then, kill.
If I close my mouth, I can't open it if somebody puts the slightest amount of pressure.
Yeah, maybe they should keep evolving a little bit. Maybe they get over that part.
Hell yeah. But I could get into this next story,
Yeah,
so we
sounds
can
good.
keep it going. So this one is from some Marines, and they're stationed on Camp Horno. And I think they're 3-1. I can't remember. But anyways, so my squad's nickname is Skinwalkers, and there's a story behind it. A little over a year ago, we had a divisional level exercise called Steel Knight. My gun squad was attached to a platoon in the defense around Horn around above Horno Combat Town. And one of my buddies told me that he saw the Skinwalker when he was younger. It creeped us all out, and he said it was still following him to this day. We only had one boot with us, and so me and my buddy took an hour of gun watch so my boot can get a little sleep. This boot kept saying he heard weird noises like the sounds of like the predator makes, but faster and louder. The other buddy saw a Skinwalker when he was younger said that he was that yeah, sorry. My other buddy also piped up and said that he saw a Skinwalker when he was younger. He said that one he saw also made the same type of noise. So we were all like, what the fuck? Maybe everyone's trying to mess with us. But we were about 30 minutes into watch, so it was about 1:30, give or take, when we heard that noise along with a screech and a rustling on the front side of the hill. We had a 13 Golf on the gun, which is a thermal optic, and I looked down the hill and saw this deer-looking thing standing on two legs. It ran up the hill past our defense on the right flank, and then it got back onto all four and dipped down the backside of a hill. My buddy Rick had a skeeter, which is another type of thermal, and saw that as well. Since we both came up with the name, and then since then we came up with the name Skinwalker Guns, since that's just what we say it was and just embrace it, and that's how our name came to be.
Well, there you go. I feel like that's a proper way to earn the moniker.
Yeah, and for I like it goes into the whole all the Marines on Camp Horno say there's a Skinwalker or something out there. But I don't know. None of them have been able to tell me what it is. Maybe it's a legend, maybe it's not. But I have heard of people claiming to have been followed by skinwalkers, like their whole life or for whatever reason. So.
That'd be terrifying, like the movie It, but just a skinwalker instead of the invisible thing. Or not It, but It Follows, that's on it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, It Follows was a good one. That one was kind of freaky. And then all, when and then when it it hits you that it was like nothing more than like a metaphor for STDs. I was like,
Yeah.
this is brilliant. Oh my God.
That was pretty funny. That one was generally pretty creepy. It was also pretty creepy, but not related to what we're talking about.
I feel like it wouldn't survive in the modern era, like in that fantasy world where people aren't all fucked up. But I feel like if it came around here, like it would just get wrecked.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if they went the path of. We're talking about like it, like the clown monster, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think if the monster went the path of like targeting people particularly isolated in their own life, like not having like a ton of like social connections, it's probably like the that's kind of like the concept of like the original stories that like all these kids like they kind of have their like the friends that have also seen the monster, but like no one else really gives a shit about them. And like they also like have no real like the adults don't believe them, like nobody cares. And if you could like maybe there I could see a modern retelling of it in like a different setting, but it might have to still go kind of like semi-rural, because I don't know if it I mean you could do like a city it just like a giant rat god or something underneath the sewers. It's just fucking what's his name? The not Slayer, from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Is it Erica?
Shredder.
Shredder, yeah. I don't know. I knew it started with an S. Yeah, just Shredder down there, but he's the It clown.
No, I don't know. The concept of it was kind of goofy, but also, I'll give the one dude Skarsgård, or I can never pronounce his
Yeah,
name.
no, that, I think that's right.
Yeah, I'll give him credit where credit was due. Like, man, he was really damn good with that.
Yeah, no,
Like,
he's a very genuinely creepy dude. Have you seen the? I think it was called The Rental or whatever the. Or not The Rental. What's it called? It's an Airbnb horror movie, and it's like Barbarian. That's what it was called. Have you seen Barbarian?
No, I've been. It's on my list, or like yeah, The Northman or something like that. I thought.
No. The Northman's that's the Viking one. Yeah, that's a good one. That's different. That's the Barbarian is. It's basically these people go to stay at an Airbnb that's like super cheap. Not super cheap, but like, you know, pretty affordable. And they find out that it's in this area that where everyone else has been, basically like the area's been so gentrified that everyone who was living there has been forced out, and it's just abandoned houses all around the Airbnb, right? It's kind of like like lower middle class, like a suburban area, like a city. And these people stay at the Airbnb until they realize that there's like something living underneath the Airbnb, or like someone, and it has access to different parts of the house. And it's just a really good horror movie.
I'm gonna have to check that out, because like he's a good actor. I thought he made the film. If it was anyone else, it would have been kind of corny, but he definitely made the film.
Yeah, no, he pulled it off, and that smile of his is like the most convincing part of the character in many, like his eyes and his smile are like very, you just look at them and they seem very psychotic. I mean, you know, the CGI helps when they make it super exaggerated as well, but do you want to get into the next story?
Yeah, let's do it. Alright, so this next one is from, I believe, a National Guardsman up in California. So this one is, so this is from the 2021 Dixie Fire in North Cal. I'll keep this one short. My lieutenant, driver, prior first class B, and myself, were driving around making the rounds and checking on all our guys out at their CPs. We got to where one of our guys were blocking a road that they had one of these generator lights. We're all just talking and making conversation when we started hearing a woman screaming. All six of us are like, what the fuck? My LT and I were ready up with our weapons as we take a few steps towards the wood line. We were told that if we heard a woman screaming, usually it's a mountain lion attacking a deer or some shit. This sound sounded close, and it sounded too much like a woman screaming. My LT yelled out, hello, and no shit, in the exact same voice we hear back, hello. This wasn't an echo at all. It was clear as day from the direction we heard the screaming, and it was his voice. We all immediately said, fuck that, and my crew got into the truck and noped the fuck out of there after telling the specialist and his crew to stay in their truck and combat lock all the doors. We're pretty sure that there was a skinwalker out there just trying to get to one of us. It was fucking creepy as shit.
Are you a prescriber of the belief that when you turn off the stairs or turn off the lights and run up the stairs, there's someone behind you?
I love that. I haven't turned around to find out.
Yeah, me neither. I'm hoping he doesn't get me any of these times.
Yeah, but like with that story, I've talked to some people that live in like the more rural parts of America, and like places like up in like Idaho, Montana, North Dakota, North and South Dakota. Those places where it's like, you know, very low populations, very low amount of people, very high amount of like wild. People have told me that up there, the locals view like the thing of like skinwalker and wendigo as like a real thing, and it's just like another animal you have to contend with in the woods, like a mountain lion or some shit. And this one guy told me a story. He's like, yeah, I was out hunting with my buddy, and you know, I was talking to him, and we had spread out, and I tried to get his attention, and I was like, hey, Eric, and I went Eric like that, like kind of like Eric, and all of a sudden from the wood line to both of their right, they hear this like fucked up voice, like Eric, like forcing it out, like someone's saying it for the first time. And he heard the voice, it stopped, and then it repeated again, and it sounded slightly clearer, and then stopped, and again, and did it like two more times, to where like when it finally came out, and he heard in a perfect imitation of his voice, of another voice saying his friend's name. Like, freaky.
That is pretty creepy. I mean, that's also a pretty common trope with the whole Skinwalker stuff is like voice imitation and that sort of stuff, which with the progression of AI technology may not be too out of sight for a serial killer someday.
Yeah, that's actually pretty creepy to think about, like, you know, AI voice emulators people are using to trick people and crap like that.
That happened with the blackmail cases I forget where it was, but some like multimillionaire's daughter got someone cloned her voice from, like, because this girl was like prolifically posting on like TikTok and social media, and they ran those through programs, cloned her voice, and then made like a fake script and called her mom, and like was like, you know, having her like scream and cry in the background and like call out for her and saying like, hey, if you don't give us like, you know, like $2 million, we're gonna kill her. And they almost got away with it, but like I forget why, but like the last second police managed, like right before the woman was gonna give the money over to them, the police were like, this is a scam, don't give them the money, because they managed to like find the daughter or something. But it was like they almost got away with it, and I'm sure there's been cases where it's happened and we just don't know about it.
Oh yeah, and just, dude, it's just sad, like the I don't know, like AI art and stuff like that is pretty cool, but I feel like it's getting out of hand. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how you feel about the whole thing, but like the AI art, AI everything, like it's just getting wild.
It's official. We have the best community in the world. You guys have helped us raise $140,000 in the first 48 hours. We couldn't do this business without you, and we are glad you are becoming co-owners in Atlas News. If you have not made an investment yet, you still have time to earn bonus shares if you invest before 72 hours is up. If you want to learn more, go to the investment page by clicking the link at the top of our website or our app. We aim to be the next big name in media, and we want it to be funded by you. Thanks for your support.
All right, So there's one time with my buddy Danny and another buddy Kason. We were walking around through a new housing development that had just started going up, and it was over in an area in this grassland that hadn't been touched since the town was established. Well, we were walking at night and decided we want to go looking into some of these new houses. So me and Kason decided we picked one and decided that we wanted to go upstairs into the framing and see what the insulation was like. But Danny decided to stay outside. He said, nah, man, I'm brown. The cops ain't gonna fuck me over with trespassing, so y'all have fun, though. So me and Kason laugh and head on in. Well, we get upstairs and turn on our phone flashlights to start looking around. We turn to our left and turn to our right, and we notice there's a window directly in front of us where there's this head. It's upside down as if it's hanging from a roof. There's no glass in it yet, so we know it's not a picture or a prank or a reflection to mess with someone. This wasn't just any head either. It was malnourished as fuck, and it looked white as a ghost. It didn't have eyes either, just black pits, but it had teeth. Really sharp ones. So we all haul ass out of there, and halfway down the road where Danny was. We ask if he saw anything in the window, and we ask if he saw anything on the roof, but he said he didn't see shit. But we definitely heard chains, like, dragging along the ground. We're freaked the fuck out, so we decide it's our best interest to get the hell out of there. On our way back, we felt like we were being watched the whole time. Occasionally, we heard these chains behind us, and I swear we kept seeing a dark figure jumping from roof to roof over these houses as we left this neighborhood. As we're getting closer to Kason's house, and the driveway lights start flickering faster as we get closer to the house. We stop onto the driveway, and they cut off completely. We step towards the door, and suddenly they turn on bright as fuck, and it sounds like the wind or something, but we all hear, run. Naturally, we get in the car and leave. I swear this whole night felt like we were running from something. We get in my car and head to Kroger, figuring that a bright and populated area wasn't a good place to get jumped by whatever this thing was. On the way there, we don't say a word to each other. I go to change lanes and I look in the rearview mirror and I see that same fucked up face from that half-built house, and I almost wrecked the damn car. We get out, leave the car in the Kroger parking lot, and we go to Danny's house about 4 blocks away. We never saw or hear anything after that.
Kind of gave me vampire vibes with the jumping from the rooftops of the chains.
Yeah, right? Like, that was pretty... It was like definitely a pretty creepy one. He's like, did you ever see it? I asked him, like, did you ever see it again? And he was like, no, I didn't. It was like a one-time thing. He's like, I don't know if it was a, he called it a skinwalker, but he's like, it's the only thing I can think to even like remotely like call it. It's like, I don't know what I saw.
Yeah, type of movement. I think I feel like I've never seen any type of like animal on the rooftop. So if I saw like anything moving on a rooftop, I would just generally be pretty freaked out. Because either it's like, I mean, it could just be a squirrel, but I feel like I wouldn't see a squirrel moving on a rooftop. You know, if you're looking like outlines on a rooftop, just any type of shape that's moving there, I'm gonna be instantly sus about. Because only thing that's on a rooftop is like a predator at that point.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
Something that's like trying to like hunt. Because I mean, you know, either it's a giant bird, which is also, it could definitely be a cryptid of some type. I feel like if we got like weird creatures like the alligator surviving, there got to be some type of like hidden pterodactyl or something that's just like in like, you know, the mountaintops of the Himalayas or something we just haven't found yet because no one's ever been there.
Oh yeah, that's like, I've always wondered that too. There was I read this one thing that it was like, why are humans all afraid of the same kind of like, you know, like pale faces or whatever, like with dark eyes, like why do they look like that? Now some people say like humans are afraid of that because of, you know, dead bodies, right? But I like to think that maybe there was something like, it's, I believe in ancestral memory, and like, you know, a lot of these tropes of fears that humans have, I think, tie in to something from our past. Like, you know, maybe at one point, like, we already know there were different subspecies of humans, like, on Earth, like, pretty, you know, as even as recently as, like, the 40s, with, I don't know if you ever read that article about, they, like, before the onset of World War II, they were discovering, like, a society of pygmies, or, like, not even, like, human offshoots, like, they're pygmies that lived, I think, like, out in, like, you know, near Indonesia on, like, a very isolated island. Yeah, and, like, it was, like, the locals were like, yeah, they've always been here kind of deal. And then, of course, you know, when the Japanese took over the island, they killed all the, they killed them off, right? So, like,
yeah,
you know, like, or,
very typical for, like, the IGA.
Yeah, I mean, pretty typical. They probably didn't even bother. They probably just like, oh, these are very short natives, whatever.
Yeah, they're, I mean, they also probably were like, honestly, I'm surprised they didn't keep them around, because then, I feel like that was like there was kind of like that weird, like sort of like ethnic obsession that they had with like experimenting on like different like peoples and races, or just, you know, treating them like subhuman. But I guess it also kind of makes sense why they might have just killed them all, because they just were like, these people are different than us, and that kind of was like the motto for for the Japanese Empire, was if they look different than us, then we're just going to steamroll them.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Or like another one, like on Guadalcanal, why am I pronouncing that word? Guadalcanal. like Marines reported seeing kind of like, you know, ape-like creatures, like a lot like kind of like the rock ape, like Bigfoot vein, in the jungles at night, and like running around and dodging fire, that got getting caught in the crossfire. It's kind of like a lesser known one, but there are stories about Marines seeing like an ape-like creature on Guadalcanal, and not a monkey.
Yeah, I do remember hearing. I mean, I remember like at some point reading or seeing stories like that. I mean, it kind of reminds me of the Giant of Kandahar, which is another classic legend.
Oh yeah, that's another classic one for sure. But I'll get into this last story here, and then we can. You know, talk about it and wrap it up, or however you want to take this. So this one is from a reservist, right? But this is when he was back camping in Central Texas. So there's this one time I was going camping with a buddy of mine from high school down in Central Texas in a little town called Meridian. We had gone off work late, and we were driving from Fort Worth, so it was about a 2.5-hour drive, since we stopped for food and gas. By the time we got to the country roads to the property we were staying at for the weekends, it was about 0-100. So we're driving up and down these hills in the back country to get to the property gate, when all of a sudden we get out and open it. I hear what sounds like a little kid saying, "Hey." From right behind the truck, so it's from right behind the truck, so I take a flashlight and a shotgun to go see what's up. While on the dirt road, there's a single coyote sitting there staring at me. I thought it was weird since coyotes are pack animals, but I figured fuck it, it's probably just got separated from the pack. My buddy pulls the truck through the gate, I close it and lock it, but the coyote's still there staring at me. So I get back in the truck and we get driving. And we're going about 40 to 45 miles an hour, and I hear this same kid saying, yelling, "Hey," out the window though, and I look, stop, and I look out the window, and it's the same fucking coyote, sitting on the road behind me, staring at me. Me and my buddy are freaked out, so I take the shotgun and shoot at it a couple times. It runs off into the woods, and we still figure we heard wrong, we're just tired. So we finally get to the cabin, and the coyote's back again. And I swear, it's the same coyote. We haul ass back inside, lock the doors, lock the windows, and see that fucker staring at us, straight at us, from the front at the front door. We hear this psychotic ass laughing, almost like the Joker from Batman, and I swear to God, this coyote smiled at us before it turned around, gave me one last look, smiled, and walked off. To this day, I'm convinced it was a skinwalker fucking with us. There's a couple Cherokee guys that still live down there, and I see them all the time. This shit chills me out, and it freaks me out, and it freaked them out too. It makes my hair stand up on my neck just talking about it. I haven't been back there since, and I won't go back there now.
That's pretty scary. I would, coyotes are, I grew up around a lot of coyotes because I grew up in parts of California that were just like super heavy coyote, and then
yeah.
Also foothill areas that were like mountain cougar, you know, adjacent, and I always remember carrying stones around in my pockets when I was young because that was what everyone said to do to deter them. And if they ever tried to attack you, just start fucking pelting them with stones as many as you could get and just start yelling.
Oh, really?
At them. Yeah, well, because if you turn your back on them, obviously coyotes are not going to often go after humans as much as they will like dogs and cats, which are, you know, much easier targets and much more common in the foothills of California. Mountain cougars, you can't turn your back on them. If you turn their back on them,
oh, yeah,
they're gonna fucking pounce on you. So you gotta, you always yell at them and then wave your arms and then just grab, like, just basically like ammo feed stones from one hand from the ground into your other hand and just like chuck them at them, just like rapid fire. And that's like pretty much you'll end, you know, back up as well. And it's the only way you're getting wet out of that if one is actually trying to stalk you.
Oh, yeah, no, I definitely, I remember growing up in Southern California, the coyotes. Never had too many problems with the coyotes, but I definitely was always afraid of cougars, man, and not the types that you meet at bars.
Yeah.
Like, I was always nervous about running into a cougar, because, like, you know, I used to live in Oceanside, actually. And, like, them fucking things were, like, walking around the neighborhoods in Oceanside. Like, they didn't give a fuck. Like, it just, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Fuck cougars. Yeah, I hate them.
They really do not care. They're just chilling out. They're probably less now, I would assume. I moved out of California about a decade ago. So, but yeah, it's, when it comes to, creatures in the woods, I would much rather, I think probably run into like a wolf type creature as opposed to like a cat, you know, a canine as opposed to like a feline predator. Because
yeah.
I feel like, I don't know, a canine, it's like, I kind of like feel like you can just kind of like, there's a chance you might be able to like intimidate them away, or like maybe, I don't know, like their teeth are going to be pretty brutal, that, you know, their jaw, whatever. You know, if they manage to rip into your skin, but I feel like you have more of a chance of like overpowering them. Although they do also hunt in packs, then you could be fucked. But like, I feel like if you're going against like an apex feline predator, you're much more in like a dangerous situation because they will like wait for you to fall asleep or, you know, stalk you and then jump down from above. Or, you know, just be a lot more indiscreet about attacking you, which is like a bigger threat, I think, if you're by yourself.
Oh, yeah, like, just, dude, I don't fucking like, you know, for anyone listening, you know, if you turn around and see a cougar, like, that's it, you're fucked, like, because it's letting you see it, and it's getting ready to go mess with you.
Yeah, people have probably seen those videos where there's, like, some dude who's just, like, unloading a gun in, like towards a cougar in front of it and just not care. Like, could not care less that this dude is just firing, like, a pistol at it. Like, they really don't care. It will come for you.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, I don't like cougars, man. They're trouble. Just flat out.
Yeah, they're probably should not be mixed with human populations. They should just chill in there far away, but won't stop people from building houses near them.
No, yeah, Southern California be like, kitty.
Big kitty.
Big kitty. It's like that video of the woman, oh my god, look, it's a big kitty in the tree. The husband's like, wait, what?
Alright. Do you want to move on to the next story? Or
was it yeah, so that one? Was the last one. I can pull some more if you want.
Yeah, let's do. I think we can do another story.
Yeah, okay, here. I'll pull from some stuff I've posted. We'll go a little go out of the grain of what we've been posting here. So let me go. All right, so this is a good one. This is like not a Skinwalker one. So this is most definitely like kind of a really did one, a really good one, but like definitely gets the grain of what I usually post. So it's called Bombs Over Bremen. All right. So the past 5 years or so, on certain nights, my dad had several dreams about one World War II bomber mission. He doesn't remember the very first dream, but he woke up with the phrase, bombs over Bremen, stuck in his head. In the second dream, the B-17 bomber he was on was getting hit by flak. The plane was shaking and there was lots of screaming on and yelling over the comms. He was a left waist gunner and he could only really focus on shooting down fighters. Suddenly behind him, there was a huge explosion and the plane lurched. He had shrapnel in his legs but kept standing. He turned around to check on the other waist gunner and he was gone. The gunner position took a direct hit from the flak burst, and everything, including the waist gunner, was gone. The third dream, his bomber was approaching Bremen. They had been having a good flight so far, no one was injured, and they had just dropped their payload. They had then the flak started. It was the most flak he'd ever seen, and the whole sky went black. When he was a boy, he drew pictures of a place called Northumberland, or Northumberland, or whatever it's called in England. For the longest time, he thought he made up the place. But later he thought it was a real region in the northern England, and that it was home to several airfields used during the bombing runs in World War II. He even drew the towers in these pictures that matched up uncannily well to the observation towers that some of those bases had. At that point in his life, he had never been to Northumberland or even England, but perhaps he had been there in a past life. When he was 6, he met a now lifelong friend of his, and the first time they met, he knew him already. It felt like a reunion of sorts. And when he had the second Bremen dream, he knew the second waist gunner was him. He met another friend, and much more recently, and also had this kind of connection with right off the bat. He knew immediately that it was a tail gunner in the B-17. He's done a whole bunch of this research since World War II bombing raids over Bremen, and he learned that Bremen was a key manufacturing city for the German war effort. The Bremen raid, he believes, he dreamt about took place on October 7th, 1942, and the 8th Army Air Corps lost about 30 planes that day, and he believes that he was on one of them. He's even gone so far as to identify the plane that matched up with some of the ones he remembered from his dream. He remembers the name, the Piccadilly Lily. He doesn't have enough information to confirm this, as he can't find the account of the right waist gunner taking a direct hit from the flak. But that's about all it's likely to find, as everyone on the bomber was most likely killed. But how can my dad, with zero military experience, dream this up? You may think this is all a bunch of nonsense, but the way he recounts these events makes it seem too real. And so, I did a little quick Google search, and I actually found the bomber, the Piccadilly Lily. There's two of them. But I found a Boeing B-17 Fox bomber named the Piccadilly Lily that was actually shot down over Bremen. And it was shot down after its bombs released and was hit by flak, eventually being lost. 5 of the crewmen were captured, but 6 of them were killed. And I believe some of those killed. So it was hit 2 minutes after bomb release by flak, and it caused a number 3 injured to go out and die. And I actually found the 3 men in the book. So there was, I can't tell. Elder D. Dickerson was a waist gunner. A staff sergeant assigned as a waist gunner. Gerald O. Robinson was assigned as a waist gunner, and Aaron A. David was the tail gunner on the Piccadilly Lily. They were all killed in action.
They should try to get their dad to see if he can find the surviving crew members.
See, yeah, right?
Feels any connection. That'd be pretty cool.
That would be insane.
Yeah, I heard a lot of stories about people sort of feeling like those like past life connections where like they're not really sure how, but like, or maybe that, you know, and they get more visceral experiences like this one, you know, where they sort of feel connected to other people that they've never met before, but they feel like they've met in a past life. I always thought that was I can't say I've ever had that experience, but I do remember finding it very interesting studying like Buddhist ideas of rebirth and sort of like energy transfer of like, you know, people's personality sort of coming through in different, you know, lives, in different beings.
Yeah, like, I don't know, yeah, the reincarnation thing is definitely a weirder vein of stuff, for sure. It's just all fascinating stuff, really, you know. And that's the stuff I live for. I don't typically get stories like that. You know, I love hearing about that stuff. Like, I love learning about it.
Yeah, it's always interesting to hear different people's experiences with those types of events, and to get like you know, that sort of element, because, you know, that's often something that's, I wouldn't say it's like usually looked past. I mean, it is, yes, definitely looked past, but also like there is like, you know, like a certain not even like taboo, but just like stigmatization against like talking about it. You know, whether it's real or not, but just even, you know, having the discussion is often sometimes, you know, for a lot of people is sort of like, you know, like, why are you even talking about it? Where this, you know, they can't even sort of see the merit in at least just like talking about other people's experiences and, you know, what they have to tell, even if, you know, whether or not how much of it is true or not, but just even the, you know, the chance to put it into the thing of, the common, conversational sort of space.
No, for sure. And like, that's always like a frustrating thing, is I hate when people just want to like disapprove stuff like off the bat. Like, all right, okay, not everything is real, that's totally fine, but like, come on, let's have a little bit more of an open mind, and like, maybe we'll figure some of this stuff out.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much in the, you know, in the past which people, I mean, like, literally all of technology and science was called, like, you know, people disbelieved in the past. And that doesn't mean, you know, everything that people, you know, claim or talk about is real, but it does mean that, you know, very often the people who are the leading scientific minds or the innovators are not fully aware of everything that exists. Like, just look at how we're discovering new elements, or look at when people started accepting that the Earth was round. You know, I mean, like, you know, even like basic stuff like that, like, you know, very like, you know, things which, you know, are very clear, but that were like not accepted until very recent history. And it shows you how much we don't know. I mean, neurology is still like a super like unexplored science. We know very little about the human brain in reality, but, you know, people are very quick to assume things about how the brain functions, even though the reality is, you know, scientists don't know as much about it than it's written. And that, you know, even 10 years ago, the science was so different. Then you go 10 years back from that, and you're like, okay, well, what's it going to be like in 10 years from now? And I think people are very easy to dismiss stuff because they're like, well, it says it in the textbook. So it's like, yeah, man, but the textbooks get updated like every year.
Yeah, I feel like that type of thinking, I don't know, like people that are just very like, oh, the science, well, science changes, you know, and, you know, it could, like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to try to sound like I'm freaking,
no, like, it's some brain people, dead I think, here. I think people, in the same way that, like, some people can become, like, very over-enamored with, like, belief systems that are religious, people can become over-enamored with, like, scientists, like, scientific belief system where it's like, well, everything has to be provable by like a mathematical equation or by like a, you know, recorded encyclopedia fact, when it's like, that's not how exploration works, and that's not how discovery works, because so very often are we confronted with things that no one else has ever seen before, or no one else has ever recorded before. So I think that's like a very narrow-minded way of looking at it. It's like people who I think aren't true scientists think that way, because a real scientist is like, what the fuck, I've never seen this thing before, let me study it and examine it and like try to figure out what makes it tick. The people who are very like quick to dismiss things, I think are more in the mind of like sort of just keeping it the status quo.
Yeah, I agree. I think that there's a lot of people like that. Like, I've always challenged that people that are they're uncomfortable with not being acutely in control of the narrative of, like, you know, the uncertainty of things is what keeps people like from stopping to question stuff, you know, just flat out, you know. That's like, that's the part that that's really kind of sad, you know. And I really wish that more people would you know, kind of be more open to that stuff, because, you know, there are alternatives from the status quo. Now, I'm not saying like all of them are right, but there's definitely stuff out there that I think is worth like exploring and looking into.
Yeah, definitely. And if you want to see more of that kind of exploration, definitely make sure to check out Nick's page on Instagram, Tales from the Grid Square. And Nick, do you want to talk about any more of your social media platforms, or talk about your books, about what's coming up?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so of course, like, you guys can come follow me on Tales from the Grid Square. That's on Instagram. So TALES underscore FROM underscore THE underscore GRIDSQUARE. Tales from the Grid Square. You can shoot me an email, same, all Tales from the Grid Square, all one word. You hit my DMs just to say hi. You have a short story to share, please. Go ahead and, like, please feel free to reach out for me. Enjoy the page. Give us a follow. If you enjoy reading about spooky stories, as I think that everybody should read, and I know everybody likes creepy paranormal stories, I have two books out, Tales from the Grid Square, Volume 1 and Volume 2, both available on Amazon, and each one are printed, and have over 230 stories. The second one has stories that I haven't posted on the page, and including pictures, but they're really fun reads. There's nothing less great toilet reads to keep in the bathroom. Definitely, I appreciate the support, but please go check it out. Please buy the book if it sounds interested. Help support me, help support the page. Because if you guys didn't know, I'm a one-man show, do all this stuff while on active duty. And then the for people in the future, too, like, I'm also a bit of a writer. No, I do not write any of the stories I post on Tales from the Grid Square, so I probably should put that out there. Those are all sent in by people that claim to have these experiences, right? But I am working on some short fiction, some fiction stuff in the future, a real book to put out for people to pay attention to that. And, you know, I'm also a bit of an artsy guy, so I do a little bit of poetry on the side, deadline poetry as well. But yeah, feel free to come follow me. Tales from the Grid Square is my main. Hit me up, follow, comment, whatever you would like to do. Shoot me an email, shoot me a DM. I like memes. I post funny memes. I keep things very tongue-in-cheek over there. I'm not very serious about it. So, you know, come on over.
Awesome. Well, you heard the man. Make sure to go follow his pages and keep an eye out for the future. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the Atlas News Unnamed podcast. This is Our Wars Today, and Nick signing off. See you.